Welcome to the March 22nd, 2013 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. So, hello there. This is the Drupalize Me podcast where we talk about all things Drupal every other Friday. And I am Addison Berry. And today I have a small sampling of Lullabots. I have with me today
Kyle Hoffmeyer,
as well as
David Burns
and
Jared Bittner,
and last but not least
Sean Lang.
Booyah! I didn't blow out the microphone as much that time. A little booyah rather than a woohoo. Trying to be good about not like making Kyle go crazy when he has to edit the sounds. Today we are going to be talking about a simple question that is probably not so simple under the surface, which is, what is a site builder? Something we talk about a lot in the community, but what does that actually mean? So that's what we're going to be talking about. Before we get into that, let me just cover the newsy bits. That sounds a little awkward, but anyway. In terms of videos, I'll start off with that. We have a new series called Introduction to Git, which is rolling. We've got, I think, 8 of the videos out in the series now. It's going to be a total of 21, I believe. So a really nice step-by-step walkthrough of all the Git stuff. So you can go check those out. In Drupal news, the Drupal.org Drupal 7 upgrade is getting restarted. They had actually started on this last year, worked on it for a year. Things kind of, basically they ran out of money at the end of last year. And so they've gathered around the wagons again there and figured out what needs to happen and are getting the project restarted again. So if you're interested in figuring out what happened there or, you know, how you might potentially get involved, you should go check out the post on that at association.drupal.org in the news section. And then in other Drupal news, DrupalCon is coming soon, and the training registration and the CXO Day stuff has opened up for sale. And of course, related to training, Drupalize Me is doing training. We have a couple going on. There's Plan, Build, Launch, Real World Drupal, which is the workshop that we did down in Sydney as well, and which is really just a great workshop and kind of covering all of those. You know how to actually technically build a site, but how do you actually make a project come off successfully? How do you plan for it? How do you work through working in teams? And then once you get to launch, like what should you be paying attention to with launch and future-proofing your site? So we're going to be having that workshop. And then we also have Lullabot Nate Haug is going to be part of the Drupal Performance and Scalability with the Dream Team. He's on the Dream Team. So if you want to figure out everything you need to know about performance and scalability, that's going to be a really great workshop as well. And then at the end of DrupalCon, there's going to be a sprint day, and we're going to be involved with the Get Involved in Core sprints, and we're doing a free community tools workshop in the morning of the sprint day, which is the Friday. So if you want to find out more about that, there'll be links in the show notes about that. And then, wow, another workshop related. Jeez, we're doing a Git workshop at Mini WebCon on April 16th. So Mini WebCon's a web conference going on in Minneapolis. And there's some really cool people who are speaking. Brad Frost is one of the keynotes. And we're doing a half-day workshop all about, like, basically getting you bootstrapped with Git. So you can go to miniwebcon.org to find out more about that conference. And if you would like to have us come do training at your event, be it a camp or whatever kind of event you have going on, you should always get in touch with us and see. We love going to events and providing what we can to make the event better for everybody. So you can always get in touch with us at drupalize.me/contact. All right. Speaking of events, the Drupal community is getting crazy with the spring. Just saying. So events this weekend, Drupal Camp China in Beijing, Drupal Hackfest in Lima, Peru, and there's a New York City Drupal Ladder Sprint happening in New York. And then in the first 2 weeks of April, I'm only going to cover the first 2 weeks because there's a lot of them. And some of them I can't really pronounce the names, so this is going to be fun. But Drupal Camp Stanford, I can do that. That's in California. Drupal Camp Sacramento is in Davis, California. Front End United is happening in London, UK. Drupal Camp Dallas in Garland, Texas. So I guess it's, you know, it's like one of those, like it's in Dallas, but it's really in Garland. Drupal Camp Alpa Adria at Ljubljana, Slovenia. I have no idea if I said that right.
Nice. Very good.
And then Drupal Camp Wrocław in Poland. Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry I'm mangling your names. Yeah, that one was really was way off. But yeah, I don't know. It looks like rock claw to me, and I know that's not how they say it. I actually go to Wikipedia, and I play the little, like, play the pronunciation thing to try and listen to it. Maybe I should just play that directly on the podcast instead of me, instead of me trying to butcher it.
I think points for effort count highly here.
Okay. And potentially entertainment value as well. There are a lot more events going on in April. Those are the ones just happening in the first 2 weeks of April. I get my list pretty much from drupacal.com, so you can always go there and see what's going on in the way of eventifying things.
All right, and that's all we have time for. So.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. It's cool. Yeah. I like it that everybody's getting together. It's just, yeah, this list, it used to be pretty short to talk about what events were coming up. So anyway.
I guess this Drupal thing's catching on.
You think? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I was there first. I have the original t-shirt, man. Cool. So let's talk about this here question, which actually, this was Kyle's suggestion, and I think it's a really good one because it sounds very simple on the surface. You know, what is a Drupal site builder? But it's interesting, even just a few weeks ago, I had somebody asking me, we were talking about, you know, people and what they were doing, and it was like, oh, well, yeah, no, you know, there's a site builder, but not necessarily wouldn't be doing development work. And it was like, well, wait a second, what's the difference? You know, they didn't realize that there was some difference. And in my mind, there is a difference between a developer and a site builder. And so we ended up having a conversation about it. And then Kyle raised this question. So I feel like it's a good one for the podcast. So I'm going to put it out to you guys who build websites. I mean, that is what we kind of do, right, for a living. So what exactly is a Drupal site builder? Like, why is it a confusing question?
Because the term is very ambiguous. I mean, if you build a Drupal site, no matter what your role is on the project, you're pretty much a site builder. But, you know, there tends to be this connotation, I think, of site builder as someone who doesn't necessarily know the front end, doesn't necessarily know the back end, and can just install Drupal, use the modules as Legos, and build a site. So I think that's the typical definition.
Yeah, I think that harkens back to some of the old software and, you know, when you could actually drag and drop things and build your website. I think there was one actually called Site Builder. So I think that term kind of feels like that kind of GUI interface building a site with predefined tools, perhaps.
Yeah, and like 2 years ago, I remember Dries' keynote where he was talking about, you know, Drupal needs to be a system where you don't need to know your CSS and you don't need to know, you know, how to write your code. You could just go in, click a few things, configure stuff, and then you have a site. Obviously, you know, from working with Drupal long enough, you know, you could build a site that way, but to build the site that somebody really wants and they drew comps out for, there's other aspects of site building that we'll talk about. But just to get a site from beginning to end with pointing and clicking is the easiest form of a site builder.
Yeah, almost that site building is a verb and site builder, the noun, have very different meanings, I think.
So yeah. When it comes to actually creating a website, is there still an actual person that is a site builder during the process, or is that pretty much gone away and everyone does everything, or is there an initial phase where that person comes in?
I think it's probably dependent on the team and probably also the complexity of the website. I mean, if you want someone to build you a blog, you can do that without getting into any sort of PHP. You can probably do it without getting into any sort of CSS because of the amount of modules and the amount of themes that are just readily available for you, you know, not so much. But if you have someone like, you know, a big media corporation or even maybe a university who really want customized, very, very highly customized things, there's other people you need on your team who maybe specialize or go across various roles of the spectrum, I think.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to, within the past couple of years, to be on a project where one of them I felt like I was a developer because I was writing a custom module that needed to match specific needs. But then I've been on other projects where I felt like I was a site builder, you know, basically assembling views, context, doing page layout, and then even more lucky the last few years, I haven't actually had to be a themer, but a themer is also part of being a site builder.
Watch it now. Be nice.
Oh, no. See, no, we're throwing out more terms.
A good way. Like,
all right, good.
The longer you're involved with it, there's very specific roles within the site building task.
I definitely agree with Dave. I think that when somebody tells me they're a Drupal site builder, to me that conjures up in my mind that they understand how to use views and they potentially understand how to use panels and they understand the block system and they understand how to get things on the page, leveraging the resources that are, you know, basically through contrib, that they understand that process, that if a view needs to be created, that if a block needs to be moved to the bottom region in the footer, that site builder has those skills and that knowledge. And along with Dave was saying that, you know, a front-end developer might not be a site builder. They may come in and they're working on just, you know, JavaScript or something to that effect, versus somebody that comes on in a role of a site builder and a front-end developer, where they're potentially creating the views and then creating the templates for those views and then ultimately theming those views.
But a lot of times go ahead.
I was just going to say, would it be an assumption that someone says they are a site builder that they also know how to theme and code? Or would you assume that maybe they only know how to site build?
Personally, I would assume that they only know how to actually go into the UI of Drupal and click together a site. That would be my first assumption. I would immediately try to qualify it with saying, you know, do you do front end or back end type stuff and try to get more information about it. But my initial assumption would be UI, I think.
And there's nothing wrong with having just a site builder as part of a team. Like, that's an integral part. Even though they don't know, like, the inner workings of Drupal, understanding the administration side and being able to assemble a page is really, really important.
And being able to communicate the potential breakdowns and things that are needed. A developer looks at a page, they see something different than the themer sees when he looks at the page versus someone who needs to utilize whatever resources are there. That site builder goes, wait a minute, I can't get to this, or wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I think that's a really important communication tool for the different users that have to interact with the site.
And the roles end up bleeding into each other very quickly, I think. I mean, if you're a front-end developer, you define yourself as a front-end developer. I know CSS, I know SAS, I know maybe some JavaScript, and I can build websites with HTML, and you're getting into Drupal, you get in there and you end up having to learn how to site build because you want to control what the markup is behind the scenes. So you can say, you know, I need something here so that I can actually style it. So it quickly becomes a site builder. And then likewise, you end up getting into, I think, the development role where you know, maybe that HTML markup is spitting out a ton of wrapper divs and you're like, oh, this is crap. I can't can't deal with all these divs wrapped in divs. I need to control
more
this.
Spans, so, more spans.
Yeah. So, you know, you quickly end up getting into a little bit of developer stuff just because you start working with PHP code in order to do things like theme overrides. And I think it just quickly kind of escalates to those roles, and things end up bleeding into each other very, very quickly.
Or it could be the gateway role. So you could start as a site builder and then go, man, I really wish this module could do this. So then you start looking at the back end, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're a PHP developer. So it could be the gateway as well.
The gateway drug.
Or you're like me and you go, oh, I can only site build. Let me go find a module that removes all these divs.
Yeah. There you go. And you know, that's an important role. I mean, that's huge for a site builder to identify that need and find that resource. Because if you don't have to write a custom module, don't write a custom module.
Yeah, I put that in the notes. Like, I think being a site builder is awesome. And it's a great, as you guys said, entryway into Drupal. But there is a threshold for being a site builder who understands the back end, and having a great site builder who spends 90% of their time, you know, like running around, trying out all these new modules that are being contributed, and knowing the right tools for the job. Because you could build a carousel in many number of ways, but there's probably like two or three that are the best approach, which are going to, you know, let you maintain the site better, let you upgrade the site better, and just being aware of what are the best tools. Yeah, separates the good from the bad.
And that's huge just because of the sheer amount of options you have. It's overwhelming. And
the namespacing does not help.
I mean, how many like beginner Drupal trainings have we been to? And one of the top questions that always comes out is, how do I evaluate what's the best one?
Okay, well, I mean, so now we've got the idea out there that there is something or a role called a site builder. But for someone like me that is a site builder and I want to advance on, we kind of call this a way to get into Drupal, and you can actually become really good at it, and it is an important role. But what if you want to continue your skills and move forward? What would you consider to be the next step?
Figuring out if you want to do front-end development or back-end development, what appeals to you more? Because you know how to get the skeleton in place, but then how do you manipulate the skeleton?
Yeah, it's interesting too, because I started out actually as a graphic designer, and when I found Drupal, I'd been doing some PHP, so I knew a little bit of PHP, but I primarily saw myself as a themer, because I needed to click together a site, and then it needed to look a certain way for whoever I was building it for. And so I quickly learned a lot of, you know, CSS and all the headaches that can come with, you know, IE, and then delved into JavaScript. And, you know, I really, really enjoyed that stuff for a period of time. And then it got to the point where I was just so tired of dealing with IE bugs, and I wanted to be a back-end developer. I started gravitating towards the PHP. Because then I ended up getting a job where I had a dedicated front-end developer on our jobs, and I never had to worry about IE ever again. And I was the happiest person in the world.
This is making a lot of sense why I got hired.
Oh, we love front-end developers.
Yes.
Not only that, a front-end developer, it really connects with your clients. Like, you could do so much dev work in the back end and build all these entities and have some, like, really awesome code that you want to show all your friends, but you show it to a client, they're like, nah. But then you put some, like, you know, PNGs behind it, and you stylize it, and it's starting to look like a comp, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So, yeah, front-end developers are awesome.
So they're like the lead singer of the band?
Absolutely.
Developers are the drummers?
Yep.
The guitar players, definitely. I definitely think that theming is one of those first things you start to want to customize, because, you know, that is the thing that you see. And if you really want that link to be orange, that's the first thing you're going to go after. You're not as concerned about how it got there or if you could overwrite a part of it. It's that looking at the theming layer and seeing something that, you know, CSS is pretty easy to read and knowing how to change that. So I think the first itch that people typically want to scratch is that presentation layer. So I definitely think theming is the first place that people start to get into that and looking at the CSS even before the HTML. I think the style is first that most people I know went that route.
So if a site builder wants to be a themer, I'm just going to play it from the beginner side. Does a themer have to know how to develop?
Probably not immediately. I think, like I said, it gets, if you start out theming, you can do a lot with CSS. I mean, even to the point where, you know, I want a block that's on the right to be on the left. Like, you can actually do that with CSS. It might not be the right way to do it, but you can do a lot with it. But I really think it gets to the point where you need to start learning PHP is when you really start to learn what those best practices are of, you know, when something should appear at the beginning of the DOM or what the DOM order really needs to be and what the markup really needs to be and wanting to change that, because Drupal does a lot of default stuff. And as we hinted on, sometimes it's really messy. And, you know, if you're getting into really, you know, someone who takes a lot of pride in their work, you're concerned about what the markup is. And so to learn how to control that markup, you end up needing to learn PHP, at least currently. So,
yeah, I think it's that progression of need, you know, that you start to, you've done something and now you want to do it better. You know, you drink from the Kool-Aid and now, you know, you got it. You got your link orange and now you move this block over with CSS and you're like, you know what, that just doesn't seem right. I need to find another way to do this. And then you start going into that PHP layer. And I think there might be a difference in the opposite direction that people come from that, you know, PHP land and that's all they've known. And then they see this Drupal thing. And now, well, I can move a region just by doing this, or I can move a block just by going this route. Okay. But how do I do that through the interface? How did that happen? I've seen that happen as well. People know the code, but the UI is just not is foreign to them still.
Uh-oh, have we circled around to the beginning of the conversation?
Yes, I'd like to announce a few events that are coming up in the next week. No, sorry.
I think circled back around to, okay, so we've approached the site from three different points. You could come in and be a themer and only do the CSS, right? And that's one part of site building. Or you could be the, hey, I'm a Drupal configurator. I go into the admin side, I move things around, I set up permissions and turn on modules and make them work together. And then we have the other thing, which we really haven't touched on, which is being the back-end developer. Do you think that's a way into being a Drupal site builder? Or is that you have to go through the other two phases first and then be the developer?
You know, I think you can be a developer and then somebody throws you a Drupal site and you're like, what is this crap? Because that typically is like a pure PHP developer's reaction. They're like, what is all of this stuff that's doing all these things and is like this? And then you start seeing some of the benefits where, oh, my user login system is completely done for me. I don't have to do anything with that. You know, there's a whole robust theming system, and then you start learning about the hooks, and you know, I think there's still a certain amount of site building you end up doing just because, well, you install it and you start clicking around and you're like, oh, there's all this stuff in the UI that I can do. So I think you can, and I think a lot of people probably have, but those are also the people who are probably more interested in actually modifying core and making it better. So,
but it's interesting because I was just going to say, I think it's interesting because at the end of the day, it's like everybody who's going to accomplish something with Drupal, like site builder is like, and being able to deal with the UI and understand how to put things together, there's like a minimum requirement there. And then, you know, yeah, you can do theming and CSS and JavaScript and you can do PHP and stuff. But if you don't actually understand how the UI works and how the basis of a Drupal site is built, you're not going to get very far with Drupal generally, I think. So it's kind of interesting that it's sort of a, while it's not necessarily the entry point for people, at some point everybody needs to learn at least basic site building in order to thrive in whatever role they're going to have.
It's a hard yeah.
for a, so and one of for the common vocabulary, I think, because it is Drupal set up that way, you need that common vocabulary to share across those roles.
That's exactly what I was going to mention. Was like
that's because you're brilliant, Dave.
No, one of my hardest things coming into Drupal was terminology. Like, it might sound dumb, but I haven't heard of taxonomy before, or how it was being applied, you know, in the Drupal ecosystem. But once you start learning the vocab and you start reading all the other articles and the words start becoming familiar, then Drupal's backend becomes a lot. It's almost self-explanatory at that point. The vernacular.
Ooh. I like vernacular. Oh, great. Can't say that, right? That's all right. Dave said configurator, so I'm just going to hang on to that for now.
I love that one, yeah.
I wrote that one down for later. Part two, site builder or configurator?
The discussion goes on.
That's it. We need more terminologies for sure. Yeah, I think it is. You know, Dave mentioned circular. I think it is that there. You know, you couldn't put these things in a line. They definitely exist in more of a glob, in a circle where they touch each other.
I think the touching glob of Drupal.
Who said that?
The globulators.
The globulator. I mean, so the globulator maybe doesn't know PHP, but now they're using Drush and they're using command line. Sorry, Kai Hoffmeyer, to achieve tasks. And you know what? So now are they just a site builder? No, now they're using Drush and they've got some cool skills in the command line.
But Drush is site building. You don't need to. How is, you know, you could be like purely in a site building role. I mean, maybe it's not pointing and clicking, but it's download and enable a module. Like, if that's all you ever use Drush for, that's still purely site building.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. Just using the terminal to me feels more developer-centric-ish.
I think a lot of people feel that way. I would love to change people's perception of that. But, Kyle. But hey, Kyle uses Drush. Right?
Like, no, I just made automator actions and click and point so Drush commands run. All right, I'm not that bad, but I'm almost there.
But no, but I mean, right, like you are a site builder. You don't you understand modules and how to construct Drupal sites. You don't really like using the command line, which is fine, and a lot of people don't. You do use Drush, though. Like that's like probably your one thing, because it is a really useful tool for site builders. So, I mean, in terms of tool set, you know, it's like a weird, scary back-end developer tool, but it's extremely effective for site builders as well. So, you know, defining tools by roles gets a lot more sketchy than even just trying to come up with the sketchy, fuzzy parts between the roles themselves, because the tool sets for different roles is all over the map.
Well, it's so Drupal. That, there's
that brings
a lot
up
of sketchy,
good,
fuzzy
good
parts.
Question, like... To be a site builder, and I know we have our standard practices and we work on fairly large sites, but do you think a site builder needs to, at this point, know Git? Or is it still okay to download Drupal as a zip file, unzip it on a server, bring in all your modules that way, install them? Or is there a level of expectancy? Yeah, whatever word that is.
There's another way to do it.
Thank you. Well, you don't have to use Drush, but at what point can you consider yourself a site builder or a good site builder? Should you understand Drush, and should you be familiar with Git and things of that nature?
I think it matters. I think that that's less about the actual site building. I mean, like, there's certainly like tools that help make you more efficient. I mean, we all use different tools that make us more efficient and cycle through trying different tools all the time. And so that could be related to the actual skill. I think with Git in particular, like, that's a best practice. And, you know, I think you're silly if you don't use Git, but, you know, that's me and I've been using version control for years and years now. In terms of, I think the biggest thing with Git is if you're going to work with other people, then, and you want to actually succeed and like make money and be hired, then that becomes a necessary skill, frankly, to know version control, at least basic version control. I'm not saying you need to be a wizard. In the Drupal world, knowing Drush is probably going to be an expectation of anybody who is looking to hire a site builder. At least that's what I would assume.
And where would somebody go to learn this kind of stuff? Yeah, that's a plug for Drupalize Me, because really,
ad goes here.
Yeah, like so many videos that talk about, you know, learning these tools that are almost an expectation for anybody that's joining a larger team, and that being Drush and Git.
Yeah, I know before I was a Lullabot, Drupalize Me was really important to me. I mean, it was very, very important to see what I was doing and what I did have, you know, skills in, and how to push those skills even further by looking at the advanced videos or looking at what the next step of that was, because sometimes you don't even know. You may be a site builder getting involved and you're using the GUI and you're going that path. When you've got some other resources and Drupalize Me and things like that, you go, well, Drush, what is that? And it opens doors as a site builder that then leads you to those other paths. That was really important for me.
Yeah, without Drush, I think I would find myself making more mistakes, overriding, you know, when a module update comes in and I just expanded and dropped it in. I'd probably mess more things up than if I just did, like, a Drush up this module name, because it makes the assumptions for me and doesn't mess anything up too bad, if ever.
Yeah, and to Addy's point, you know, Drush is an important tool regardless of what role you play, because there's so many uses for it. I mean, as a themer, you know, when I started, I thought there was no need. Why would I need something like Drush? I can't tell you how many times I type CC all. It's like my speed keys on my keyboard. I probably need to do an alias for it. Sorry, Kai Hoffmar.
I have it programmed to a mouse button. But no, I mean, back to what Dave is saying, when you start bringing in new tools like Drush and Git and all that, I think those, in my opinion, are just different levels of a site builder. A person can be a good site builder and actually make probably some decent money and make a lot of websites and not have to use those tools. I mean, and some of those tools are dependent on other tools. I mean, version control of Drupal is great, but it's kind of almost not that helpful unless you start learning features and you start doing all that type of stuff. But you can build decent websites for small companies and charge good money for them and not use any of that type of stuff and still have some of your own best practices. You might not have version control, but you're making sure you're getting backups done. You're using backup and migrate, things like that. So I think learning those new tools and those are just enhancements to your site building skills, and that's maybe what you do, is get better and better site building, and that's when you decide, okay, I want to do back end or front end or theme. So I think the tools are just a natural progression of part of everything.
Yeah, I think I agree with Addy too, to that point where it's also a matter of collaborating. You know, when you really start wanting to work with other people and not stepping on each other's toes, there comes a point where these tools just make sense to use. And so, yeah.
We should probably start to wrap things up. I'm doing real good on the time thing.
No!
Yeah. But yeah, so do you guys have, like, you know, we still have, you know, we don't have to, like, I'm not cutting you off, but I'm just letting you know, like, you know, like, final thoughts, like, anybody want to sum anything up?
I can sum things up. I mean, when it comes down to it, whether you site building is kind of the base. It's the hard dependency on Drupal. You gotta know how the UI works, and you know whether you want to. If you want the level of customization, kind of depends on whether you get into a lot of CSS and front end work or a lot of the back end work. And a lot of the tools that are available, like Drush and using Git, are really just dependent on your level of interaction with other people and kind of the size of the projects that you're on. So I think that kind of wraps.
I have something else to add to that. When getting into Drupal, I think it's extremely important, and it's much more fun and you're much more successful. If you partner up with somebody and you learn together and you learn off of each other, and once you stop learning from each other, go find mentors and stuff that are going to push you to that next level. And always, like, when you reach that level, when you don't think you could learn anymore, go find somebody else and learn the way that they're doing things, and just continue to evolve. And I think that's the fastest way to ramp up and be, you know, great, not only in Drupal, but almost anything you do.
What's a good way to find people like that, though?
Go to your local meetups, definitely. That's number one. And if you don't have those, get in Drupal, do a search for people in your area, start your own meetups.
Yeah, groups.drupal.org, people.
Yep.
Really handy.
Also, and IRC.
Yeah, there's a lot of online stuff. A lot of online community. I mean, well, yeah. Drupal is a distributed community, and it's a lot of online interaction. But yeah, there are, you know, IRC groups, groups.drupal.org, where you can meet people in person or start your own meetup, get together, say, hey, I'm going to be at the coffee shop. Anybody want to come talk Drupal? That kind of thing. You know,
I just moved. So if, you know, I'm looking for SoCal people for Drupal now. So that's the first thing I did when I got down here is I pulled up Meetup and started pulling up the Drupal.org stuff. And I've been here for 4 days and I've already been to a Drupal meetup. So
sweet.
That's how we roll.
Yep.
It almost sounds like an AA meeting. I've been here for 4 days and I had to find one immediately.
Come to think of it, I think I did need a drink.
I was going to say, moving can do that to you.
True that.
Not that I get to complain. I'm moving across the courtyard.
And ultimately, to sum it up, if you don't like Internet Explorer, it's sean.lang.
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, man. Awesome. Well, yeah, I think this is a good overview of a lot of stuff. I mean, because, yeah, this, like, what is a site builder? But, like, it is a lot more complicated than that simple question, I think. And a lot of people have different angles and opinions on what that means. So hopefully we've put some food for thought out there for people.
Yeah, and Kyle Hoffmeyer is totally right. Site builder is a wonderful thing. It doesn't... If you never touch the back end, if you're doing just GUI interface and you're building websites, that is an awesome place to be. There is no shame in that game, because that is a need, and there's Drupal let you do some awesome stuff. So I totally echo and agree with Hoff on that.
Right on. Well, thanks a lot for podcasting with us today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And I believe on the next podcast we're gonna be talking about Git, actually. Funny enough. So yeah, if anybody's interested in learning more about that stuff,
Kyle Hoffmeyer would be conveniently absent.
Actually,
oh no, there's a GUI for that one.
Nice.
Well, actually, so I'm going to be on vacation for the week of the next podcast. So I think Kyle Hoffmeyer is going to be front and center on that one. I might try and be on the podcast, but don't be surprised if I'm not, folks. Don't distress out, okay? Distress out. Wow, that's kind of cool.
Maybe we should start a poll. Should we let Kyle fly that one alone just for the entertainment value?
Yeah, I won't have any guests. I will just tell you everything I know about Git.
You'll just open the Git manual and read it.
I'll just assume everyone's looking at my screen while I'm using my graphical user interface for that one.
Nice.
I clicked this button here and it did a push. So.
All right.
My count.
All right.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. And again, for our dear listeners, if you have thoughts, you may obviously comment on the podcast note on lullabot.com. But also feel free to get in touch with us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/drupalizeme. Or Facebook, facebook.com/drupalizeme. Or you can always drop us an email using our contact form at drupalize.me/contact. We love to hear your thoughts and ideas about the podcast and responses to it. And certainly ideas for future topics are always welcome. So yeah, get in touch with us, talk to us, or, you know, find us at an event. Hey, you're going to the, are you going to the Sacramento camp, Sean?
No, I moved.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but I give those guys a huge plug. They run a really good job up there, and there's another bot up in that area that usually attends. And last year it was a terrific event. So give them some mad props.
Sweet. All right. So anyway, thank you very much. Until next time in Drupal land. See ya.